Welcome to the Only In Rugby League podcast, where we discuss all things rugby league with me, Callum.
With me, Bobby.
And me, Andy.
And still, the M62 and beyond.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You know, I almost said welcome to the Loose Forward podcast in the intro, but I remembered.
And I remembered every single button and everything last week, right until that very, very last sentence.
It's poor. And it let you down big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the two substitutes.
If you make a mistake early, people forget about it.
At the end.
You do it the last thing.
You obviously haven't, have they? How did you feel about our substitutes last week? Because you two, you know, basically couldn't be asked.
Yeah.
Did all right. But now we're back.
Here we are.
Well, anybody got any interesting stories from last week that you'd like to share with our listening public?
Nah, I think we could skip over last week. No one needs to
I'm not asking you.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
There's a couple that can't say on the pod.
Okay. But if you want to DM us, we might
have a video or two.
Yeah, okay, yeah. If you want to message us, please do, and we'll send you a video, yeah.
Oh, wait, what? No, you can't do that.
Yeah. Please message us, yeah.
Nobody needs to see the video.
Oh, dear.
But I'll tell you what they can see later, Colin.
Yeah, young Bobble's got his first tattoo in Benny, as the locals call it.
Did they call it that?
We did.
All right.
I did.
And it's like a little, well, a little dinosaur, isn't it? It's like a cuddly dinosaur, isn't it?
It is a cuddly dinosaur, yeah.
Okay. It's like me. I like dinosaurs and I'm cuddly.
Well, fair enough then. So we'll share that with everybody later, can't we?
We can.
Okay.
But you've got a video of that as well where he's like nearly crying and it's in like one of the easiest places.
Oh, I have seen that.
He
was.
I didn't know what to expect.
Your pain threshold. Hang on a minute.
Someone sticking a needle in your skin, and you don't know what to expect.
Yeah, but when people...
It only goes in there the width of a 10p pence or something.
It's still hurt.
He's not getting any more, is he? He's not like...
No, he's not.
Oh, well.
No.
He's not getting a giant only in rugby league tattoo, is he?
No.
Neither are you two.
Oh, I might do.
You might do, yeah.
You've ruined it now because it's got like a dinosaur on it. See them two dinosaur tattoos and you'd look a bit nerdy.
No, because that's not true. Not after what you dressed me up in Benidorm as.
Yeah, giant dinosaur.
Exactly.
And all you are all the park rangers, I believe.
Yeah, the park rangers, yeah.
Amazing.
And then we just had this game where Bobby chased us and we had to leg it.
Yeah, they just shot at Chase randomly. I had to run through the streets of Benidorm trying to chase them. I can tell you,
yeah,
I know it's on everybody's mind.
Yeah,
okay, I caught nobody.
It was the world's slowest T-Rex.
How much start did he have to give the park rangers?
Believe me, they could have overtook me and I still wouldn't have caught them.
It was so funny.
If anything, I needed the head start.
Oh, dear. Well, what have we got on tonight, Callum?
Super League Round 4, review of that. Bobby's got some stats. Quick whiz through the NRL. It's becoming the most popular segment.
It's overtook the stats.
Oh, yeah. It's a pile of crap compared to this.
Look at his little cuddly face.
I don't know why I turn up every week. All I do is get bullied.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah. Anyway,
ridiculous statement.
Only in rugby league.
And can I tell you, this week, you might not be surprised to hear, it is a bumper edition.
Again.
My
God.
I think there's 20.
What? In a week?
Yeah. I mean, there's some, you know, some are like, you know, better than others, but...
Oh, yeah, but obviously. They all count.
Yeah, all count.
They all count.
Oh, dear.
And then we'll round off the show with the Predictions League. So we'll have Brian to run us through the table.
Hang on a minute. Why did you never say that about my stats?
What?
Some are better than others, but, like, they all count. He gets a leeway. I get that. Oh, that stat was crap, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Different.
Can I just quickly talk about Bri, as well? You got him on for Prediction League after. Yeah, again. We were talking about, he's got him on Prediction League later, yeah?
Yeah.
He has been angry this week.
Why?
Well, he's been in a right mood all week. he's been messaging me about people that have annoyed him on Twitter, about not getting any sleep, about absolutely everything and everybody to do with rugby league.
Right.
So to the point where his wife, where Sam even tweeted, like, thanks for making him such an ass. Like, not to me, just generally in rugby league.
Yeah, wasn't that like 2 years ago, though?
Yeah. What, you're still thinking it now?
Yeah.
Probably. Probably 10 years ago, to be honest. Yeah,
maybe. Maybe.
There's so much to love about rugby league in this part of the world, and more than just the pork rolls at Warrington and the pies at Wigan. There's tradition and history and great grounds and great fans, and then there's the weather. And if you don't like it, well, you just have to put up with it. Tough titty.
Well, Super League round 4, and we're going to start off in the capital this week, where Wigan romped home against the London Broncos, 60 points to 22.
Yeah, that London held on for a lot longer than I thought, and I know Wigan rested a few. I don't think Field or French played, or did French definitely didn't play.
No, they had the young lad Farriman in it at standoff. He'd played really well.
Yeah. I think Field played.
Yeah, yeah.
I could have sworn I saw him anyway.
Or Smith. Did Smith not
Smith
play?
Smith didn't play in
Yeah,
French
that's right. They had the two halves not playing.
That's right. And Farriman played in French's place. Did really well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, London, they were in it for a bit at one point. They were in it.
It was 22-16 at one point.
Yeah.
They were in it at half time. And then they got a sin bin. And that was the end. That was the end of it, really, because in that 10 minutes, Wigan pulled away.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Which, by the way, just to point out once again, because they've scrapped the Super League show on BBC, the highlights for this game were absolutely shocking. Mm. 1 minute they've got 13 men on the field. Next they've got 12. They didn't even show the sin bin. They didn't even show what happened. Mm. I mean, I unfortunately couldn't watch that game. I was out, but. It was it was annoying because I didn't get to see it, obviously. So I have no idea what he was simbing for. I don't know if anyone can fill me in, but
I think I'm not. Yeah, I don't think anybody knows what simbins are for anymore. Anyway,
well, yeah, true.
No,
there just has to be a couple in a game.
Yeah, the game turns end on it.
But I think first of all, I think you've got to give credit to London for such an effort, for hanging in for so long.
Mm.
And then secondly, I think this is going to be the pattern for most of the season because they're a part-time team.
Mm.
They're going to fade in the last quarter of matches.
Yeah.
Especially against the big boys.
Yeah, it's just a fact. And I think you could see it, couldn't you? A lot of the tries that Wigan scored, a lot of them were like crash balls and the big men trying to get over. The defending for it was just absolutely abysmal.
Yeah. Just stretching arms and outstretched arms.
The Brad O'Neill one, he literally jumps past someone. I think it's the second rower, the number 11, whoever that is.
Yeah.
And he watches him just like go past. He literally just wanted no attempt to make a tackle.
Yeah. I think that was the thing from the outset. I don't think that was even just, as Andy said, the last quarter and tired legs and tired defence. I just think if London are going to compete against any team in Super League, they need to up the defensive effort because that was... The tries were very easy. I mean, you know, Abbas Miski was the leading try scorer last year, and for a winger to crash over the way he did from acting half is...
They just stood off.
Yeah.
They stood off and defensively, they're just not anywhere near.
But if your wingers are crashing over like that, like you expect it from like your Magos and your Duprees and your Hills and stuff like that, that's fine. If they crash over, you know, fine, they're big boys. But when your wingers are doing it, you expect your wingers to at least get on the end of something, not just be forcing the way over.
Well, in the first four games, London have conceded 40, 34, 28 and 60.
Yeah. No surprise.
No.
But you know, they've been put in an unwinnable position.
But to be fair to them as well, in the three of the first four games, they have played St Helens, Catalans and Wigan.
Oh, yeah.
In three of the first four games.
They were never going to win that.
You know.
And they should have got, you know, maybe on another day they get the 2 points against Hull. But I just think that they've been put in an unwinnable position by, like, all this IMG stuff. Because even if they finish 10th...
They're still out.
They're not staying up, are they? So they've not been put in a position where they can recruit Super League level players, because no, who's going to want to go there?
Yeah.
If you think you're a Super League player, you're not going to London, are you?
Only to put yourself in the shot window for somebody else to pick you up next
year.
Yeah,
it's a last resort thing, isn't it? Like Lee Kershaw, for example.
Yeah.
I tell you what, though, how quick was the young Wigan lad, that Eckersley? He had a yeah, bit of speed to him, didn't he?
Yeah, he definitely did, yeah.
He just seemed to stroll away from them.
Yeah, it's a shame. They've got they seem to have now, compared to last time, got themselves a decent infrastructure, got themselves a decent ground. They've looked the most solid as a club they have for a while, and it's I just hope they can keep building.
They have, and they've looked better as the weeks have gone on. Obviously against Saints, I think they were lucky to only concede 40. To be honest. They ran Hull really close, and like I said, on another day, should have won or could have won. They were in there until the sin bin in this game, and they've got positives there, and another good crowd. I think there was over 4,000 again.
I think what they've got to be mindful of is that defence does need to better, as you said, Callum, because as other teams' attacks get better, as the ground dry out and they get into a bit more of a rhythm with their attacking structures, they could be in trouble if they don't quickly find an answer to that.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Well, moving on to another team that had a really nice attacking structure, as you put it there, Andy. We're going to go to Castleford, where Huddersfield came out 50 points to 8 winners.
So, bearing in mind what we've just said, would London beat Castleford?
Well, that's their other opportunity, isn't it? At the minute.
Because, to me, Castleford are playing like a championship team.
Yeah, they're not in a good way at all. I think if you're London, you're looking at Hull, you're looking at Castleford, and I still think that Salford will be there or thereabouts, depending on how fit they can keep the squad, or, you know, suspensions and whatnot, because their depth isn't there. Come the end of the season, they might be a bit more vulnerable.
There's rumours today that Catalan are taking Ollie Partington off them.
Oh, right.
But we'll come on to that, won't we? But
yeah. So they're the two, especially Hull and Castleford, they're the two that you're thinking they need to win that. But yeah, Castleford, just not up to scratch at all. Absolutely nowhere near, are they?
Well, we've just said about London, but Castleford in their first four opening games, they've conceded 32, 26, 30 and 50.
They are lucky that London are in this league, I think.
The difference being, in three of those four games, they haven't reached double figures themselves.
No.
So that, to me, they are playing like a championship team. And we've said it a couple of weeks ago, Innes Senior is the bright spot for them.
Yeah.
And a couple of the tries, it took some finishing, his two tries, but that's the only bright spot that they've had, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, you've just ran through the numbers then. If you can't attack and you can't defend, it's not going to go well for you, is it?
No.
It's like a cricket team. How can we lose? Well, we didn't bat well and we didn't bowl well.
Exactly.
Like England and India.
You know, it's not like, oh, it's all right. Like, we've conceded 20, but we'll score 28, we'll score 30. They're nowhere near.
No.
Or, you know, we might only score 12, but, you know, we're not going to concede any.
No.
Bit like Saints last season, for example. not an awful lot of points, but defensively, pretty rock solid. Mm. They haven't got anything.
And on the flip side of that, you get Huddersfield that are sort of, how can I put it, beating the teams they should and losing to the teams that you'd think they would, if that makes sense.
They wind me up.
Huddersfield.
Yeah. It's just a strange team. Strange team. You don't know what Huddersfield team's going to turn up.
We said this before, like last season, we said it about teams like Salford, Hull KR, even Warrington, those sort of 5th, 6th, 7th teams going for that. You didn't know what was going to happen. This is even more appropriate, I think, now with Huddersfield. You really, really don't know what they're going to do.
You know, they play Hull KR this week at home. That, for me, is almost impossible to predict.
Yeah. Yeah, because
you just... You know, and I know Hull KR have got their own issues going on at the minute.
Yeah.
Or the last couple of weeks anyway. But from an Huddersfield point of view, you just don't know whether they're going to go and dominate or be dominated.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
No. I had to laugh at the last try. Did you see the last try? Lollahia was running under the post and then flings it 20 yards right. To Nagama.
Oh, yeah.
Brings
it
over pretty much in the corner and they miss the kick.
Honestly.
Why are you passing that?
Honestly, don't even get me started on that.
Why, did you have a bet for it? The
Lollahia was the only try scorer that let me down. And I'm genuine, he cost me about 80 quid. I was fuming when I thought.
And he was going in the last second.
Yeah. I was absolutely fuming when I saw that. But it was just bizarre. I mean, why would you not? I mean, I know there's unselfishness, but like, come on, be a little bit greedy.
I want my 80 quid.
He was literally strolling in though, and then threw it out wide.
He was. Give me my money.
But think of all those. Think of all those people that have had Kevin Nagama.
I don't care about them.
Share the wealth, Bobbles.
No! No! I want it! Well, moving on to St. Helens, and probably maybe a shock result for some. Saints 20, Salford 24.
Yeah, an historic win for the Red Devils, wasn't it?
44 years of hurt.
Yeah.
Came to an end.
I was trying to think of a joke, you know, to like, it's coming home.
But it's like, it went back to Salford.
Yeah.
So that was 1980. Do you know when the last time they won before that was?
No.
1970.
Oh, right.
So the last time they won before that was another 10 years. Yeah.
So they've only won 3 in 50.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, not...
kind of ruined my start not... there, but thanks.
Oh, right.
No, I'm joking.
Anyway, we have the views of Salford fan Chris Seedhouse to listen to.
Yeah, almost unbelievable that we've finally broken that curse winning at Saints. There's been some heartbreakingly close games in recent years where we've lost to last-minute ankle taps or drop goals. But I think in a way it's almost poetic that we win there after having had one of the worst off-seasons in rugby league history. Undoubtedly, the red card did have an impact on that game, especially near the end as Saints tired from nearly a full half of 12 men. However, I wouldn't say we only won because of that red card. If you look at round one, Catlands managed to beat Wire after going a man down. Personally, I think a large part of why we got the win was Lafay and Nene having their best games of the year so far, and possibly Lafay's best in a Salford shirt. Plus, we did manage to kick all of our own goals. For the moment, I'm not concerned about the number of cards seen in the game. We're going through rule changes, and as always, there is a settling in period. When players get used to the changes, I think the number of cards will go down. Already in round four, we've only had 5 cards, whereas we had more than 10 in earlier rounds. My concerns more would be around constantly changing the rules every season. Players aren't getting enough time to adapt to rule changes, meaning that they're being punished with cards and fines before they can change years or decades of training. In terms of my expectations prior to round one and whether I was rather pessimistic, honestly, I had written us off doing much special this year and saw it more of a transition year for the club. In terms of getting the finances in order. The board had previously taken a gamble with contracts last year, but for between us not being able to replicate last year's 22 season, the stadium deal being dragged out and the RFL cutting central funding by over 300 grand, the club had to take those difficult decisions that secured the club's long-term future. Now that we've got the stadium deal pretty much done, and with the club sticking to the IMG model and going for that A grade, I am cautiously optimistic that things will improve over the next few years through additional funding routes from the tenancy and the club working with the mayor to get a good strategy across the whole city to drive numbers up. But in terms of the rest of this season, at some point I think depth is going to be a problem for us, especially if we progress through the Challenge Cup, whereas we knocked out of it might give us some weeks off that we need. However, I think as long as we keep the 1-17 or as close to as possible of that, I don't see why we couldn't be pushing for 6th or 5th at the end or maybe get a cup final. We've already shown that on our day we can beat pretty much any club.
Yes, cautiously optimistic, Chris said, who he is, by the way, the poshest sounding Salford fan I've ever heard.
At least you can understand him.
I just want to pick up on a couple of points from Chris. I'll start off with the what I thought was the big one. And it's not even about the game, to be honest. The constant rule changes and players not having time to adapt to the rule changes. Agree? Disagree?
I think where I disagree with Chris, in a way, if you like, the constant rule changes lead to the number of cards, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I think I don't think anybody at the minute knows what rules we're playing.
Yeah.
Week to week. And I think you're in a point now where you look at a tackle in the stand and the first thing you do is look to the referee to see if he's going to produce a card as well as a penalty.
I'm not enjoying watching games at the minute.
No, I'm not, no.
It's becoming, for me, a sense of, similar to like the Premier League, the football at the minute, when they score a goal, the first thing you do is you're looking to see what VAR are giving. And it's the same, and I've never ever been a fan of that, and it's coming into rugby league now, and I'm not a fan of that. Like Andy said, you're looking to see what the referee is going to give first, and that's not how the sport should be played.
No, and for me, away from rugby league, I think VAR is killing or has killed football for enjoyment.
Yeah, it's muted celebrations, isn't
it? and I don't want us to get to that situation.
Mm.
The other thing that I think about that is, I don't know whether you would call it an inconsistency, a different referee's different interpretation, a video referee's interpretation. I don't know how you would describe it best.
Mm.
But what I do know is that you look at two different incidents of a similar nature that would produce two different results.
Yeah.
Either a penalty and a yellow,
mm-hmm.
just a penalty,
mm-hmm.
a penalty and a red.
Yeah.
And then the
suspensions.
Mm.
You know, take this game, for example, Mark Percival, red card, which is what I was going to come on to next.
Mm.
Now, Chris said that he didn't agree quite that if Percival hadn't have been sent off, that Salford wouldn't have won. I disagree
with Chris there, I think.
Because I think they were 20 points to 6 up when he got sent off.
Yeah. I think 14-6 it was.
Oh, sorry.
And then I think Saints scored again to make after that.
Yeah, Lewis Dodd scored a
second. Oh, right, so.
But I think if he stays on, Saints win comfortably.
I agree.
And that's not taking anything away from Salford. No. Because what I did think after the red card was that Salford played the game magnificently. They got the ball on every set, on nearly every tackle, and stretched it wide, stretched it back the other way, and they really stretched.
See, I thought they were quite slow to react to that. I thought that Saints, and maybe it's just because Saints have been like superb at defending over this year and the last couple of years, and they made it hard work for Salford. But at times, Saints looked like they'd gone down to 10 men, not 12.
Yeah,
And I just thought it took Salford a while to sort of make the most of it.
Yeah.
I think against a better team, they'd have been in front within 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Tim
Lafay was excellent.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Just before we move on. The Percival thing with the suspensions. Yeah. He's got a 2-game ban.
Yeah.
And then you look at the Jack Ashworth one in the Hull one, which we'll come on to, and he's got a 3-game ban.
Yeah.
But I didn't think that was.
I thought that was a ridiculous ban, but we'll come on to that.
Exactly, but that's my point about what you were saying about what's a penalty, what's a penalty yellow, what's a penalty red.
What I'm struggling with is this line from the referee every time there is, the mitigating factor, or there's no mitigating factors, or you've hit him with force, which rugby league, you're going to hit him with force, whatever you do.
Mm.
Otherwise, you're not going to tackle him, are you?
Yeah,
exactly. So I don't understand that bit of it.
No.
It's either foul play or it's not.
No.
Like you're saying, Callum, the thing is, you know, players are getting bans for tackles that they're making in everyday games that aren't even being picked up. Like, for example, Conrad Hurrell for Saints missed this game because he got a one-match ban
But nobody even said anything about that tackle.
It was a video that got put online that then brought it to attention. But for me, a red card is the biggest thing you can give within a game. So how can somebody get one game for something that doesn't get picked up, but then Percival gets what you would call the biggest punishment of all in a red card, but then go, oh yeah, that's only one game more than what he did. Mm. It doesn't make any sense.
But then we're finding that teams are now playing 50, 60, 70 minutes with 12 men.
Yeah.
Two or three sin bins.
And it's not what you want to see. And I'm not saying nobody should ever be sent off, obviously, because if it's, you know, malicious or intent or whatever, then, yeah, you deserve a red card. But
some of these are. And what I also find, and we've said it before, what I also find is is players' reaction.
Yeah.
And for a lot of these cards and these penalties, nobody reacts.
But now you're seeing more reactions because you think, hang on, if I run in here, there's a chance that, at the very worst, we're getting a penalty.
Or I stay down.
Yeah.
Mm.
Which is creeping in more as well.
Yeah. I mean, we've gone on a bit of a rant there about that, but I think it was a point well made from Chris. You know, I think the other two was a Percival. I think the sending off was a major momentum swing. And the other thing that he touched on was goal kicking, which Saints have been pretty poor at this season and in the end cost them the game.
And when you've got Mark Sneed, you've always got a chance if you're getting the goal kicks, aren't you?
He's the best kicker in the league, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's the best goal kicker in the league.
Yeah, he rarely misses.
Yeah. So, you know, at the end of the day, that's come into it as well. You know, Saints kicked them other two goals.
Yeah.
They've won the game.
You mentioned before about when we talked in the last game, you mentioned about Salford's depth and stuff. At the minute, they're overachieving, aren't they, compared to what people thought they would do pre-season?
Yeah, and I think that's been Salford's story for the last 3-4 years, really.
Yeah, but particularly this year, because I think everybody had written them off. They'd lost a lot of players.
Yeah,
they'd struggled with the ground situation, the finance situation.
Yeah,
everybody had sort of even wondered whether they would even be a Super League team in 12 months' time.
Yeah, they did, and you know, they've had good news with the stadium stuff, and you know, Chris was talking about the council and everything getting behind it, and hopefully building that sort of community behind it. So
things are
looking up for them. It's just, you know, there's finances, isn't it?
Yeah. Just finally on this game before we move on though, big month for Saints coming up, I think.
Huge month.
Because the Challenge Cup draw, away at Leeds.
Mm.
Away at Leeds in the league this weekend.
Yeah.
And the two games after that is the derby on Good Friday against Wigan. And then I think it's
A trip to Catalan. It's a huge month.
Yes.
They could
at the end of this month, we'll know a lot more about Saints.
Yeah, we will. And they could easily go 4-4, or they could go none from four.
Yeah.
Percival easily will be a big miss in these two Leeds games, though. They've got a big hole.
Yeah,
they are
a different team when Percival's on the pitch. Yeah.
How many out of them's next four games, then, would you say they'd win? You've got to say which ones, but how many of those four are they winning?
Two.
I'll go two as well.
I'd say two.
Don't know which two, but
no, I don't. I don't think they'll go none from four.
No, I don't think they'll go 4 from 4 either. I don't think they're good enough to do that.
No, I don't think so either. And again, it's like, well, you know, you pick up an easy suspension or whatever, it changes yeah, it, exactly doesn't it? You could pick up 3 or 4 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly that. Well, moving on to our, what was our first game of round 4 on Thursday night, a very entertaining game between Hull KR and Warrington, where it was Warrington that upset the home side, 22 points to 20 in Warrington's favour.
I really enjoyed this game.
Mm.
I thought the tries that were scored in this game were awesome.
Yeah, I did.
There was a lot of really, really nice tries.
And a tale of a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, yeah. But we've got Stacey on our Hull KR fan to give us her thoughts to the game and Hull KR's start of the season.
Hi guys, thanks for having me on again. Still a positive Hull KR section, but with a bitter dose of reality, I think. I think the last few losses have been a true reflection of where we are as a team at the moment. I don't know if it's a derby hangover or what, but something isn't clicking for me. We beat a poor Hull FC side in the opener. We managed to scrape through and get the victory against Leeds, but I don't feel like we've got into second gear. And I hate to use this phrase because it's so overused and it's the kick on of this season, but the attack has been too clunky. There it is. But yeah, it has. We've had periods in the game where we've been brilliant and we're showing what we can do, but you can't win games on 15 minutes of brilliance, and it's shown that the last few games we've just been outplayed, and each time the opposition have been the better team, and everybody's in the same boat, I know, and obviously people have commented about the state of our pitch, but I do think once the drier weather comes in, we may see longer periods, well, we need to see longer periods of that flare, and obviously the goal-kicking situation, that is what it is. I don't think they'll make the mistake of coming into a season with without a goal kicker again. However, looking at the next 4 games, they are winnable and they need to be winnable. They need to be won, even. I think if we don't win those games, some serious questions have got to be asked of the season and the team as a whole. Not panic stations just yet, though, because I do still confident for a top 4 finish. I just think we need to tighten up in quite a few areas, and yeah, still on for that silverware, hopefully.
Yeah, thank you, Stacey. Not as bubbly as she was on the pre-season, is she? But she said their attack clunkly,
yeah.
And something's not clicking. She said, "What's not clicking, Callum?"
I think it's fairly obvious, to be honest. I think it's the fullback situation.
With Hiku?
Yeah, he's just not a fullback.
So they've got a 1-6-7-9, if you like, of Hiku, May, Lewis and Litton.
Yeah. Now the 6-7-9, pretty good.
Yeah.
And then when you throw Parcell into that as well.
Yeah.
That's not a bad combination, is it?
So I keep hearing of people with Hiku, he's not a fullback.
He's not. He's a centre. Out and out centre. That's where he's played 96-97% of his games in his career.
Who are the current centres? It's Gildart and
Opacic.
So he's not. Yeah, I won't put him
so,
in over them.
So I don't know. I just think it's quite poor recruitment, to be honest. It's a lot of. I think they said it last week. Somebody said it last week. Square pegs, round holes.
It feels like they're struggling to replace Coote.
Yeah.
Because they had Lewis in there, and then they've moved Lewis to the halves, but not really then filled that gap at the fullback, have they?
No.
But they've got Evalds. I don't think Evalds is a winger. I think...
No, the problem is that they've bought 2 out-and-out centres, 2 quality out-and-out centres in Gildart and Opacic. Hiku's become available and they've gone, actually, we could, you know, he's probably too good to pass up, but not really thought about the consequences of it. or go, oh, he'll be good enough to do a job. He's played in the NRL. He can play anywhere.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Was Evels on the wing in this game?
Yes.
He was.
So, I don't know, because obviously you've got Ryan Hall.
I was just trying to think who the... If, let's say, they dropped Hickey and put Evels, who would be on that wing? I was just trying to figure it out.
The problem that they've got is the players that they've got in the centres and the wingers, they can't really play anywhere else, and it's hard to shift them because they're quality.
Mm. Mm.
So the only one you can move is Evels. Mm. But is Hickey a winger? No, I don't think so.
But would he be better on the wing, where he could maybe finish a try, than at fullback where he's in constant
view? But then
they
brought Joe Burgess in, so it's like, mm. Well, what's the point of bringing Hickey in? I don't really understand the signing myself.
Mm. It seems to me it's a lot like Huddersfield last year. They need to figure out this spine situation and get it sorted now, because otherwise they ain't going to be anywhere close to silverware this
they
year.
They need to get it sorted now, and yeah. I mean now, because if you look at the next 8 games.
Okay.
And you split, no, what I'm trying to say, if you look at the next 8 games, you split those into 2 banks of 4.
Okay.
So the first 4, they've got Huddersfield, Salford in the Cup, another derby against Hull, and London Broncos.
Mm.
You've got to get that right now.
Yeah.
Because after that, they're away at Catalans, at home to Wigan, at home to St Helens, away at Warrington.
Yeah.
That second lot of 4 is
that's
is
what I'm
very,
saying.
Yeah. Very
so they've
dangerous.
Got to get it right yeah. in the first 4 now.
Especially the last 2 against Hull and London. That's a really, really good chance to start getting things right
yeah.
in
yeah.
the build-up to the second lot of 4.
Yeah. No, that's right.
Yeah.
But let's go on the flip side of that, and let's look at the game and look at Warrington as well as the game. I think in this game, there was a huge, huge moment, I think, when James Batchelor dropped the ball over the line.
Yeah, that was massive.
Because I think at that point, I think they would have gone 18-10 or something yeah. like that. And instead,
they'd have gone 2 in front, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, and instead I think they found themselves 18-6 down.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
Mm.
And because Warrington scored 2 late tries in the first half.
Yeah.
Really late tries, and if Batchelor doesn't, they wouldn't have scored those tries because the whole situation changes.
That was a huge moment, and you know Matt Dufty's been excellent as well the last few weeks.
Yeah,
really, really rejuvenated. Looks a completely different player to last year, and Paul Vaughan seems to have kicked off where he started last season as well.
I mean, they bombed some chances, so you think, you know, we look at Warrington, you go, oh, great, it's not about 3 from 4. They've got London this week, you would sort of assume they go 4 from 5.
Mm.
Mm. If they go 4 from 5, we'll be asking our friend down a loose wire to come on and have a few words. But Hull KR bombed a few chances as well.
Well,
at the end of the day, Warrington, they've got the 2 points. And, you know, well done.
Yeah.
But they could and should have lost that game, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's not just the Batchelor one over the line. Mikey Lewis made a fantastic break down the side and threw it inside, and they just couldn't keep hold of it.
Did Litton overrun that, or was it a bad pass? I can't make my mind up.
I can't make my mind up. And I only saw it a couple of times, in fairness.
Yeah.
But
did it seem a simple move, really?
Mm.
But no, Ryan Hall. I think he's got within 7 of Danny Maguire.
5. Yeah.
5, is it?
He needs 5 more tries to break to equal it. I think
he's going to break it, isn't he?
Yeah, he'll break it.
It's
yeah.
either 5 more to break it or 5 more to it. I know there's something around 5.
Do you think he's underrated?
No.
Do you not think so?
No, I think he's. No, I think he gets the right amount of plaudits.
Maybe more towards the end of his career now at Hull KR, but definitely at Leeds, he was definitely not underrated at Leeds.
No, I don't think he's underrated.
Maybe people have underrated him.
Oh, man,
Leeds
did used to call him WBW, didn't they?
Yeah.
World's best winger, didn't they? Yeah, so yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah.
Maybe people have started to underestimate him a little bit when, you know, towards the end. And
he's a little bit more out of profile, if you like.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, you know, he's getting on a bit. So yeah. Maybe people have gone, it's, you know, whatever, but.
Okay, yeah. But the Sam Burgess effect. Rolling on.
In full swing.
Mm. Mm.
Well, moving on to the other side of Hull. They travelled to the south of France, where they didn't pick up 2 points, and they went down 26 points to 12 to Catalans.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, from the moment that you, if this was the start of the game, Bobby, from the moment that you've introduced it there, Catalan have gone over the line now and they've scored.
Yeah, true. Early one from Nicarima, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's not what you want, is it?
Not at all. Not at all. Are Hull improving or are Catalan not as good? Because I thought that would be a lot more lopsided, that scoreline.
Well, I was going to ask you about Catalan and ask you, did you think they're relying a little bit too much on Jordan Abdul at the minute?
Yeah, I think so. Theo Farge, he's not the player he seems to have been at St. Helens. He didn't have the greatest of time at Huddersfield. And, yeah, look, I know it's like a new club and everything. But
coming back from injuries and that.
Yeah, so, you know. But he should settle pretty soon because, well, he's French and he's gone back home. And he's not like he has to settle in, you know, to a completely new culture, if you like, is it?
No.
So you would imagine he'd settle in pretty quickly.
Yeah, obviously, I think it's just worth pointing out as well. I know you said about Hull getting better or Catalans not getting, you know, worse in this one. I think it's worth mentioning, I think, I saw something like it was the first time it had rained in Catalans for like 3 years or something.
It's not Egypt.
Honestly. I'm not even joking. I'm not even joking. I'll find where I saw it. Oh, it was the first time. It was like torrential rain or something like that. Oh. It might have been torrential rain.
Not just rain. Like,
no,
like,
it might, wet, just rain, like, might
just
have been...
That wet rain, Callum.
That what? Yeah, that, you know, that fine that, stuff. That,
yeah, 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 that it stuff, might have yeah. been... It might, wet just, rain. Yeah. It might have been torrential rain now that I think about it, actually.
Right,
but
okay.
My point is when it's obviously the first time that a lot of the players have probably experienced...
What,
that.
Rain?
No, what, torrential Abdul? Rain. Like it's slipping and... Stuff like that.
He's come from all that, isn't he?
Is it raining many, though?
No, only that wet stuff.
He's like, he thinks it's like the Sahara Desert, doesn't he?
All I'm saying is that's what I saw, so deal with it.
Jesus.
Well, on this game, tell me what you saw as regards Jack Ashworth on Satai.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
It's not a three-match ban, is it?
Not at all. He wraps his arms, he dips.
Satai dips into him, you mean?
Yeah, but yeah. Ashworth dips as well.
He just looked like a bang of heads to me.
Yeah, that's what I thought. How he's ended up with a three-game ban, I have no idea.
And this is what we're talking about. I don't want to get into it all again, but this is what's spoiling things.
You'd spend every week on it. Wouldn't you? You could spend an hour every week on something under these new rules, and
but it's
getting a bit silly now, and it just, like I say, it just ruins the game, and you just get fed up with it, and it makes you not want to carry on watching, and it's like, what's the point? Where are we going
with that one and the new brown one?
I mean,
he's already in four rounds.
He dips. Mm. You can see him. His knees bend. His arms wrap. It's just that Satai dips as well.
I've said before, do these people that make the decisions, do they have any, some of them, do they have any idea about the speed of the game?
Yeah.
And have they ever played? Split second, some of them, yeah. It's just, I just find it bizarre.
Because it comes across as though the rules have been made by somebody who's never, ever stepped foot on a rugby pitch.
An insurance man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's definitely into, like, rugby union or something.
Right, well, that brings us to our last game of round four, and it was a very impressive comeback from the Leeds Rhinos, who came away with a win 22 points to 16 over the Lee Leopards.
Yes, and for this one, we've got our good friend Eddie from the Lot Pod to give us his thoughts on the game and to the Rhinos' start of the season.
Three wins from four for the Rhinos. A nice start, a decent start, a good start. Obviously, the pressures that came with the enormous amounts of money that the Rhinos did spend with Brodie Croft and Andy Eckers, etc. A good start, yeah, I'm quite positive with that. I do love the way we, the Leeds Rhinos, are playing currently, this expansive attacking brand of rugby league. I know that comes with consequences at times in terms of errors. You know, if you hit a cut-out pass in your own 10-metre line on first tackles, you are prone to the odd interception. But I love that. I love that Rowan Smith has us playing a brand of rugby league that you're going to see a good game no matter, and we are going to attack teams. So I hope we do keep that up. Proof's in the pudding there with Ash Hanley. He's been in the form of his life, been absolutely outstanding form. I think Paul Momorowski's really helped him with that by passing him the ball. Even when Paul Momorowski can score, he'll look to Ash Hanley like, where are you? You need to score this, and put it on a plate for Ash. So I've been happy with both of their forms. Brodie Croft, match winner. Just a match winner. Something we Leeds Rhinos have been missing since Danny Maguire, which is really sad to say, because a club like Leeds should have had at least one halfback of the quality of Brodie Croft. He's here now. Perfect match winner. Interjects himself into games at the perfect time. Ned doesn't seem to waste energy. You know, he's always on the ball, but if something's not happening, he's happy to take the tackle or pass it on and set something up on the next play, on the next tackle. And just absolute quality in that the things he does tend to win us games or get us into winning positions. So that's been nice. Matt Frawley has complimented Brodie Croft perfectly as well, which obviously helps having that combination. Saints in the league and then Saints in the Cup. I am disappointed with the Challenge Cup draw. But I feel like I always say this, and I feel like fans of other Super League sides always get excited about that Championship lower league away draw, because it's just adds that additional element of excitement, because you can visit some grounds that perhaps you've not seen before or not been to in a long time. Some sides get that, some sides don't, and it's always a bit of a disappointment. But would a question for yourselves on the panel there, would you be against, if the Challenge Cup, if the RFL did say, right, should a Super League side be drawn against a lower league side, it'll be at the lower league side's home ground, so Super League sides will have to be drawn away, would that add an extra special element to the Challenge Cup? Love to know your thoughts.
Well, there you go. Question for us.
Thanks, Eddie.
So, would you be into that?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I agree.
For the simple reason that Eddie said about that excitement about going to a ground that perhaps you've not been to for a long time or haven't been to at all.
I
just think that, and I think that's part of it. And I think if you look at it and you're saying from the RFL, you're saying, oh, Catalans have got to, provide all the other teams' travelling expenses.
Mm.
Well, you could do that for a one-off in the Cup. They could pay their own expenses for that.
I think we've spoke about it before, Andy, and we've even said about, you know, bringing in teams around early, but you make it that all the Super League teams go away.
Definitely.
We've said that in the past, where you bring them, not only do you bring them in, do it in this round, you bring them in around early, and you give teams a chance to, I mean, could you imagine someone like Saints going to York Acorn or something? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
They'd probably have to play that somewhere else, but I get you.
But you know what I mean? It's that thrill, isn't it?
I agree. And I also think at this stage, four teams from outside Super League isn't enough to come in at this stage.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I just don't think it's enough.
Exactly. You know, you're lucky if you get that away day. And as Super League followers, the teams in Super League, you want that different away day, don't you?
There should be 20 teams coming in.
Yeah.
To make a 32, not 16.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. 100%.
Brilliant. Well, let's go on to the game.
Yes. Eddie spoke about Brodie Croft, and I've seen nothing but praise from him, really. I think he had maybe a slow start in the first game, but since then he's been on fire. He says he interjects himself at the right time, knows when to come in, knows when to stay out, and doesn't waste energy.
Yeah, he's a quality player, isn't he?
Yeah.
What I was interested in what he said was that I'd sort of build it as like the Croft and Handley show, but he was really keen to praise Momorowski.
And Matt Frawley as well. He said Frawley compliments Brody Croft really well, which is what we did say at the start of the season.
Yeah.
Even though we did also say he was absolute turd at Huddersfield. And he was. There's no you can't argue that he wasn't, because he was. He was awful.
But Leeds starting to look good, starting to grind through the gears a bit now.
Yeah, they're getting in there. You know, he mentioned about Rowan Smith, and I know Rowan Smith's been there like two and a half years or something now. Yeah. But this, for me, feels like the first time that he thought, this is Rowan Smith's team.
They haven't won any game convincingly. They've had a lot of narrow wins.
They have had a lot of narrow wins, but they've won.
That could be good, though.
That's what champions do, isn't it? That's what champions sides do. They win when it's looking like they're not going to.
Yeah, definitely.
You see it all the time. You know, they look like they'll be there or thereabouts, and you know, these next couple of weeks will tell us even more about them.
Yeah, and this game was settled 3 tries in 10 minutes in the second half.
Yeah,
and that's it. A couple of questions then. What's happened to Lee? What's with Lee?
Don't know. They have had a tough start. You know, the first game, you never quite know how the first game of the season's going to go, do you? And Huddersfield, to be fair, bar that St. Helens game, have looked okay.
But these are the games they were winning last year.
It is games they were winning last year, but, you know, Leeds are miles better than they were last year.
Yeah.
They then had to go away to St. Helens. They should have played Wigan as well. If it wasn't for the World Club Challenge, and then they've gone to Leeds. Now, you would argue that Leeds, St. Helens and Wigan would be maybe 3 of the top 4 come the end of the season. Well, that's a tough ask.
Yeah, of course it is. I think, I just think the other thing as well with Lee is that don't hit the panic button too soon, because they started slow last season. I think they only won one in the first six or seven, so maybe it's not time to be overly panicking at this point. But you know, you look at last season and you say, oh, what's happened to Lee? They just overachieved last season for me. And I think maybe a few teams have figured out how they now play. And I don't, maybe some of them are, you know, maybe Adrian Lamb doesn't have that system in place to sort of go, right, well, we're going to change what we did. And I don't know if the players are, if it's the coaching staff, but maybe teams have just figured him out a bit and they don't have a plan B.
Well, at the minute, he seems to be absolutely convinced that every decision in the world is going against him, doesn't he? Nuno Espirito Lamb, doesn't he?
He's a moany bastard, isn't he?
He's taken over from Ian Watson, hasn't he?
He's just horrible.
Yeah.
Did you know, when they did the draw last night?
Yeah.
Right. And they had Adrian and
both the lambs,
lamb.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's plural for lamb?
Lamb eye? I don't know what it is.
I was at work when the draw, so I had to turn it off. Did they bring them back on? Do you know? Does anybody know?
I'm not sure, because I switched it off after the draw.
Right.
Because
they brought them on and they waved. And he went, give us a wave, even though they'd already waved. And then they waved again. And then they must have heard it. And they waved again. Stop waving.
But when Lee played Saints the other week, he had a real go at the officials. And the pitch. And then this week, he played Leeds. And he was said Leeds should have had 4 sin bins.
He's just, I think for me, it's just deflection.
Is there an expectation of Lee now from what they did last year? They're not quite reaching that, and now he's in that, well, everything's against us, and it's no longer like last year. Look at us, we're the surprise package.
That's what I was trying to get my point out.
He probably won't feel like that, because he'll feel like they haven't overachieved and they've got what they deserve.
Yeah.
So he probably won't feel like that, but he'll probably be feeling, well, we're none from 3 here.
Yeah.
You know, something's got to give. I think it's just all deflection with him all the time. Deflect.
Yeah. Do you think...
And I think that's just his way...
They're not playing well, because some of the defensive was...
Well, I was going to say, the only thing I would say for them, you know, I know they've had a tough start and things like that, as I said before, and the only thing I would say is this, you're 16-0 up.
Yeah,
so you can't give a 16-0 lead up.
No.
I don't think there's much excuse there, is there?
No, not at all.
Just to very quickly go back to the complaining and stuff like that. Do you think it's easier to complain about the little things when you have a chairman that does the same thing in such a boisterous manner? Because if you're sat with him and he's moaning, you tend to just sort of agree with your boss. Do you know what I mean? If someone says, does it make it easier for him to do so when you've got the coach saying it and then you've got Derek Beaumont going, yeah, that's exactly what we were saying. And
yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah.
Well, that just wraps up the review. We'll swiftly move into this.
It's Bobby's Stats of the Week.
Yes, it's Stats of the Week time.
Hello.
Hey. How many you got this week?
7.
Ooh.
NRL's back though, isn't it?
Oh, well, yeah. Actually, 6, because one of them's... You'll find out. Yeah. The stat number one is, did you know that we had a new champion this week? It was me, and I took on the Mega Breakfast Challenge in Benidorm and won.
That was with his, I saw the thing with his Barbie top on and everything that you did.
Yeah, he had a Barbie crop top on, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he ate his breakfast, and, to which you very cleverly named him Margot Bobby.
Yeah. Would you rather have Margot Robbie or Margot Bobby?
Margot Robbie.
Oh, there you go then.
but just sticking with a common theme on this this stat, it also turned out it was Bri's mate that owned the pub in Benidorm. So
he knows everyone, that lad, doesn't he?
He does. But yeah, just once again, new champion. So
okay,
thank you.
Well done.
Right, okay. Into our rugby league stats of the week, and our first one is one that we already picked up on during the game in the review, should I say? That was Salford have beaten St Helens at St Helens for the first time in 44 years. The last time they won was on the 12th of January 1980. Also, the same day as former Saints prop Maury Fassavalu was born. So, it's to add to it.
Okay.
Stat number two is the last time Castleford drew Batley in the Challenge Cup was back 10 years ago in 2014. And they went on to make the final that year. In the same round of that draw, Leeds drew St Helens, who also made the final. So,
okay.
Could we have a repeat of 2014? Who knows? Stat number three. The last time St Helens and Leeds played each other back-to-back, one in the league and then one in the cup, was in April 2003. On the 5th of April, Leeds beat Saints 24-16 in the league, and then they beat Saints again 33-26 in the Challenge Cup semi-final.
Was that the one that went to extra time, Kevin Sinfield scored?
Yes, it was, I believe so. Yeah. So that was the last time they played each other back-to-back. And stat number four, Craig Bellamy, I know I've used this one in the past, but Craig Bellamy has still never lost an NRL game in round one. His record continued this week when they beat the Penrith Panthers, but it's now 21 years old is that stat that he is. He's kept winning in round one.
Excellent. Brilliant, brilliant, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's excellent. Yeah.
Stat number five is the Penrith Panthers are the first ever reigning premiers to be kept scoreless in round one.
Okay.
Okay. Good one.
And my final stat of the week, that is that Catalan's game against Hull FC was their 500th Super League game.
Okay.
In that time, they have won 248 games. They've lost 241 games, drawn 11. They've scored 11,594 points. And somehow, despite winning more than they've lost, they've conceded 11,849 points.
I would think a lot of that went down to the early days.
Yeah.
But that's it. That wraps up the stats of the week.
Wraps up another edition of Man versus Food.
You call that a knife? This is a knife.
That's not a knife. That's a spoon.
Yes, NRL, round one continued a week later. You read the Vegas ones out last week, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yes. So the rest of round one went like this. The Newcastle Knights 12, the Canberra Raiders 28, the New Zealand Warriors 12, the Cronulla Sharks 16, Melbourne Storm 8, Penrith Panthers 0, Parramatta Eels 26, Canterbury Bulldogs 8, the Gold Coast Titans 4, St George Illawarra 28. What are you shaking your head at?
Well, they said Justin Albrook couldn't coach. Look at this.
It's not a good start for the Titans, I'll be honest. But an even worse start for the Dolphins, as it was the Dolphins 18, the Cowboys 43.
Fins down.
It was fins down. Fins between the legs. Yeah. something like that. anyway, that was the NRL.
You call that a knife? This is a knife.
That's not a knife, that's a spoon.
Yes, moving on everybody's favourite section. And I think I can say that. We say that about every segment, but I think this one's actually true.
Yeah, new favourite segment.
New favourite segment. The ever-growing popular... only in rugby league section, and Andy has got a bumper edition again. Apparently,
yeah. Can we have a button for it in future?
Yeah. Well, you come up with something.
All right. Okay. This week, amongst many others, thank you to Outlaw Rugby League, Johnny Lou, down at Bellevue, Connor Roberts, and numerous other people. So thank you for your contributions this week. And if you get any, as usual, use the hashtag #OnlyInRL.
Yeah,
and we'll get it featured. So I've got a bumper edition. We'll start off with Sky, the main broadcaster. Looking at the fixtures that advertised, one of the fixtures including Salford. Yeah, S-A-L-D forward, Salford. And didn't feature a logo. That's because they don't exist, so.
Maybe that's where Chris is from.
Salford. Yeah. let's go to the BBC, the BBC website. Had a match report, Hull KR 20, Warrington 22, with a subheadline of Dufty Try Gives the Warriors Victory. let's go across to the Betfred Super League website. Catalans 26, Hull 12, featuring a picture of Catalans versus Warrington.
Oh, okay.
Serious one now. Super League Plus app have now announced that the games won't be available 48 hours after they've finished, but now 96 hours.
What do you mean?
The games that are there, it won't be featured until 96 hours after they finish.
So halfway through the week when we're already getting ready for the next games?
Yeah.
What, so you can't watch them?
So I believe, yeah. So it's 90. There's
I
an
thought
internal...
the whole point was that you could watch them live.
Yeah, but then I think on repeat or something, it's something about 96 hours and not 48.
Oh, so you can still watch it live?
Yeah, I think
but
so.
But if
yeah.
you obviously, if there's like two or three at the same time, you can't watch one after the other.
Yeah. Not you quite sure who they're attracting with this thing. It needs to be better than
that's
it.
Absolute. That's
well, but if you've got a Friday game and you can't watch that until Monday night, Tuesday night, you're not bothered by then.
No. Because you're prepping it. You want to watch it over the weekend, don't you?
And you listen to a podcast for all the reviews anyway.
Like, for example,
I had
to miss work this week. I'm not going to wait till Monday to watch the... Yeah. I'm not going to avoid the score all weekend.
No, that's right. I want to go to the Challenge Cup draw. First of all, it was advertised as Sunday the 11th of March, which was in fact Monday the 11th of March.
Yeah.
And then, why can we not drag more than one person into the draw?
I don't know.
The home teams will be drawn by Yestin Harris. And the away teams will be drawn by Yestin Harris. Yestin, give the bag a shake.
and put a tie on.
Yeah. brilliant. Let's go across to Warrington. Let's go across to Warrington, where it was a really nervous game, so much that Sam Burgess was seen calming his nerves with a vape.
He's been speaking to Kevin Proctor.
Well, Kevin Proctor was really proud of him. That's, you know, I mean, there's no smoke without fire, is there? So, oh, you know.
So well, that was, maybe there is.
Maybe there is on this one, yeah. I just thought the Vegas thing had gone a little bit too far this week on Fox League, where it says the Dragons successfully challenged an offside decision given by the umpire.
The umpire. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Dear.
A Hull fan. A Hull fan.
Is that it?
No, that was... No, this week tweeted Leonardo DiCaprio to try and buy the team because they had that many injuries, they'd fill with a lot of youth and he might be interested in buying them.
It was quality. Oh, it's brilliant.
Let's go to the NRL. Very serious racism charge against Spencer Lanyeu.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately for... well, for all involved, really, the lawyer that the NRL appointed constantly referred to him as Spencer Luai from Tonga, and in fact, he'd played for Samoa. So I don't quite know who this other person was.
He's not a real liar.
Let's go to the ever popular Lee Leopard's Twitter.
Oh no!
So. There was a lot going on in Lee this week. So apart from the spellings and things like that, they were saying that this is an official account that was saying things like high shot goes unpunished by the referee, things yeah. like this. They were like Kendall deems this not worthy of a sin bin, like this. Akers is let off from the sin bin, all this sort of stuff, right? Our friend Outlawed Rugby League suggested that you know that this was the case, and perhaps they should look at the spelling and things like that. Mm. To which the Lee Leopard's Twitter account replied and goes, "Grammar police here, guilty as charged."
Does Derek run it?
I don't know, but we're going to move on to Derek.
Hey,
so on Derek's own Twitter, Derek Beaumont. I had a rant on Twitter this week saying this is why the game's in uninvestable. There's a council meeting this week and I will not be silenced.
Was uninvestable spelt right?
I don't know, but it was like one of those things, isn't
it? Just looking for him.
It was like one of these things that like Super League club owner goes on rant on Twitter again. Mm. The only thing I'd ask is, who's trying to silence him?
Yeah.
I will not be silenced. No one said you are, Derek.
They're after me.
I reckon he sits there at night with the curtains open, just looking like out on the road,
peeping through the curtains.
Looking for torches in his garden and things, eh? I will not be silenced. Brilliant. I want to go these are the better ones now, and I don't know which one to go with. I'm going to go to the Daily Mail. So the Daily Mail published a league table and a result this week. Catalans versus Hull, they got the score right, but I tell you what, that Arthur Morg had a right good game. He scored a try for Catalans, but he also scored three goals for Hull.
Did he?
Yeah. But also that, do you know who was second in the table, according to the Daily Mail?
Go on.
The St Helens Dragons.
St. Helens Dragons. Oh, that's awful.
Oh, that's
awful.
I want to go to Hull. said nobody. But I don't want to go to Hull because I want to go to Hull via Perpignan.
That sounds better.
It does. Well, Hull FC obviously thought so because they had their pre-match light training session in the town square in Perpignan.
Why?
They were just there in the town square throwing rugby balls about, weren't they? This is a professional team. This is a top level professional team running through their plays and having a warm up in the town square on the concrete.
Imagine Chelsea having a kick about Trafalgar Square or something.
It's like United going to the Trafford Centre, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can I go in John Lewis? And you can't, mate. No, Eric Ten Hag doing a session there. Yeah. Mate. No, you can't do. Oh, mind that fountain.
Yeah. Can I get some food? You can't. Bruno Fernandes is taking penalties.
Yeah. That's incredible, isn't it? A couple more this week. And this is a bumper edition in itself to almost finish with. From the Featherstone versus Wakefield game.
I wouldn't have thought anything would have come from that.
Well, first of all, we've got the sight of Wakefield ladies flashing in a nightclub.
I saw that.
What?
Have you not seen it?
We've not seen it.
You need to see it.
You need to see it. They're just pulling their skirt and pants down and just flashing. Which reminded me, didn't one of you two once tell me that...
I did see
it. Or was it both of you? Didn't you get mooned at coming out of somewhere in a game when you were younger once? Did you tell me?
That was me.
Was it Huddersfield?
I shouted out the car to Huddersfield fan and she pulled her pants down and mooned me.
And didn't you shout something back? It's about like,
looks like two eggs and a hanky.
Must be a Yorkshire thing.
Yeah, it must be.
So there you go. Before that, though, and I hope people turned up at the game because the RFL had advertised it, a Featherstone versus Wakefield at the Millennium Stadium in Cardiff.
Wow. It's a big event, isn't it?
Wow. Yeah. I'll tell you what, that pitch wasn't great, was it, for the Millennium Stadium?
Yeah. Hey? That's true. Yeah, you could have closed the roof, couldn't they?
Yeah. Wakefield fans then also complained about Featherstone's staff and stewards and things, making what could only be described as lewd gestures at the Wakefield fans. And then, after the game, this is point number four from this game alone, Darryl Powell's press conference seemed to be taking place outside some toilets or something.
I saw that, yeah.
He was coming out to the coach with one of these little man bags on, wasn't he? And they just throwing him a microphone.
I think what happened was he'd come out from having a wee, was zipping his pants off. I'm like, just a quick word, Darryl. You seem to have dribbled.
And that's not even anything to do with that nightclub thing. And then finally, after the game, obviously Featherstone won that in extra time,
yes,
which was a great win for them to get.
Yeah, yeah, brilliant win for them.
So at 18:39, just at 20-7, Wakefield published on their Twitter account wishing everybody a happy Mother's Day.
Oh, right.
So, you know, if it hadn't been spoiled, then happy Mother's Day.
Yeah.
So that was that. And then finally, I need your help on this one, Callum. We're going to go over to the final bit. We're going to go over to Widnes.
Okay.
Where Widnes... got beat in the Challenge Cup by Batley.
Yeah.
Which wasn't met well with one particular fan on Twitter on the account who just replied simply, yes, I've been waiting for that beep referee in the car park for ages now.
Is it Chris Hamilton?
Well, that's what we... Yeah. Is the fan Chris Hamilton?
Definitely. Yeah,
that's what you want to know. If it is Chris Hamilton, we thought that he should take a leaf out of his successor, Bill, I can't remember his name, at Oldham, the chairman, Bill Quinn, at Oldham, who we mentioned the other week about a war cry poem, didn't he?
Yeah.
Which didn't work because they got knocked out by Swinton. But we thought, instead of waiting for the referee in the car park with a hammer or something...
Could have wrote him a poem.
He could have wrote him a poem instead.
Maybe.
So we've got a couple of efforts here. Callum, do you want to do yours first?
Yeah. I'll have to look it up. Cause I can't
it was...
Oh, yeah. Right. So I had Roses Are Red, Violets Are Blue, I'm in the car park waiting for you.
And I went with, roses are red, violets are blue. We've been knocked out, and so will you. And that brilliant. Concludes, on that note, that concludes another bumper edition of Only in Rugby League.
It's the best segment ever, that.
The Only in Rugby League podcast predictions league, six again.
Yes! The Predictions League is back, and obviously that means we are joined by Bri from Six again. Bri, how are we this week?
New boys, I'm okay, how are you?
Yes, new Bri, well, better than you, I think, Bri, this week.
Yeah, you know, it happens, doesn't it? Yeah. One of them weeks. They're coming permanent now.
Yeah. Are they Everton? Go on, we can.
Well, what happened is there was this little fella who's basically kept Man United living for about 4 months. Other than that, not much.
Eric Ten Hag? Well,
Jim Ratcliffe?
Definitely Ratcliffe.
Yeah. Shall we move on to rugby league quickly, Brian?
Yes, please.
Skate over this issue, yeah. Brilliant. Right.
Yeah,
right,
we don't mind.
Bring us up to date, Bri. Because we've got a world record to announce, haven't we?
Yeah. So we had three spot-ons last week. We had one for the Catalan v Hull FC game, which was by Hull FC, even though Catalan won. And then we had two in the space of 5 minutes in the Leafy Leeds game and the St. Helens v Salford game, both for Louise at Salford, who has broke our record and has got 36 points this week. And it's now taken over from Keith Mason, who had 35 in our first year.
So just to make sure, that's Louise who has the most points and the least points.
What a turnaround.
What a turnaround.
Well done, Louise. Well done.
Not only that, they are now top of the league. They went up 13 places.
Well done, Phil.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
They've been waiting. Yeah.
They went up 13 places to Salford. Callum, you're still in second. You're now second. I'm in fourth. Andy, you've moved up to sixth. A point ahead of Bobby, who's in eighth. And bottom of the table is Castleford, who London are just above Castleford in second bottom. But London are closer to second than they are to Castleford. They were bottom.
Spooky, like real life, innit?
Yeah. How am I below Andy? That's just disappointing. I'm not doing this anymore.
Right, Bri, who's on this week?
So this week, gentlemen, we have for Castleford, we've got Roy. For Catalan, we've got Victoria. For Hull FC, we've got Outlawed Rugby League. For Huddersfield, we've got Nathaniel. For Hull KR, we've got Tony. For Leeds, we've got Lopard. For Lee, we've got Forbidden Game. For London, we've got Alex. For Salford, we've got Phil. So Salford might go down a bit again this week. For St. Helens, we've got Steve Orford, who needs to buck up from Johnny Lou last week. We've got Noxie for Warrington. Wigan, we've got Johnny Ashy, and for the insiders this week, the Women's Challenge Cup is this week, gentlemen. The big teams are back, and we have one of our former insiders who've been with us every single year, and she's hoping to be at Wembley this year. It's York Valkyries, Savannah Andrade.
Excellent. Welcome to Savannah again. Right, Brian, where do you want to start?
Right then, boys, we'll start on Thursday. It's at 8 o'clock, it's on Sky Sports Action, and it is Salford v Wigan.
Although Salford have been playing really well, I think Wigan will be too strong. I'm going to say Wigan by 16.
I'll say Wigan 18.
And I'll go Wigan 12.
And I have gone, you know what? That's the one I haven't done. Hey, I've gone Wigan by six.
Okay.
Andy, you are now four. You've gone Wigan by 12, along with Castleford, Huddersfield and Saints. We do have a Salford by 2, which is by Eddie from Lopard for Leeds. Mm. And we have a Salford by 4, which is by Phil. With and he says, I'll take a leaf out of Louise's book.
Okay. Want to get some pints?
We'll see. Next up on Friday, it's also at 8 o'clock. It's also on Sky Sports Action. First in 2 weeks, Leeds v Saints.
Tough on this. We've already kind of covered it, that Leeds are doing really well and Saints might struggle without the likes of Percival in there, but I think Saints will just edge it. I'm going to go Saints by 8.
I'll go Saints 10.
Oh, it's a tough one. I'm going to say Saints 6.
And I've gone Leeds by 6. Callum, you know, 1 of 3, you've gone Saints by 6, along with Catalan and London. Bobby, you're now 1 of 4. You've gone Saints by 8, along with the insiders Waddington and Salford. Leeds have gone Leeds by 8. Saints, Steve Orford, has gone Leeds by 4. And we have a Saints by 1 from Tony at Hull KR.
Okay.
Next up, first up on Saturday, it's on Sky Sports Arena and the Super League Plus channel. It's Huddersfield v Hull KR.
Oh, it's a toughie, this, isn't it?
This is the toughest one, yeah.
Do you know what? On the basis that Hull KR could and should have won last week, even though Huddersfield had a really good win, I'm still going to go Hull KR. So I'm going to go Hull KR 10.
I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm going to go Huddersfield by 8.
I'm going to say Hull KR by 8.
And I've gone Hull KR by 12. Andy is now the only one who's gone Hull KR by 10. We have everything from Huddersfield and Hull KR by 2s up to Huddersfield and Hull KR by 12s. I think we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We've got 14 different predictions out of the 17.
So how difficult is that?
This is probably the most difficult one all season so far.
Mm.
Next up, we have also Saturday, 3 o'clock, on Sky Sports Action and Super League Plus channel or app is Hull FC v Lee.
I think Lee will finally get a win just because I think Hull are really, really poor. I'm going to say Lee by 14.
I'm going to say Lee by 16.
Yeah, something's got to give on this one, hasn't it? Someone's got to pick some up. So Lee 12.
And I have gone Lee by 6. We've got 4 who've gone Lee by 4. They are the insiders, London, Huddersfield and Catalan. And we've got 2 who've gone Hull FC by 2. One is Noxie for Warrington and 1 is Outlaw Rugby League for Hull FC. Next up, gentlemen, 5:30 on Saturday on Sky Sports Action and Super League Plus channel is Catalan v Castleford.
I think Castleford are really, really poor and I don't see anything changing this week. If they got 50 put on them by Huddersfield, who knows what's going to happen in the south of France. I'm going Catalans by 32.
I'm going Catalans by 28.
I'm going to go Catalan by 26.
Bobby, you are 1 of 3.
Oh, what?
You've gone Catalan by 32, along with Hull FC and Roy from Castleford. And Roy says he actually thinks it'll be 32-0. We also have a Catalan by 42 from Nathaniel of Huddersfield. And lastly, boys, on Sunday, it's on Sky Sports Action and Super League Plus. It's at 3 o'clock. It's London v Waddington.
I think it's similar story to what we've had. And I think I'll go Warrington by 36.
Oh, you keep saying what I'm going to say, man. I'm going to say Warrington by... I'm going to say Warrington by 40.
I was going to say... I'm going to go Warrington 44.
And I've gone Warrington by 24. Bobby, you have got the highest that we have. Andy, you're now also with Nathaniel from Huddersfield with your prediction. Callum, you're with Forbidden Game from Lee for your prediction. And we do have a London. And it's London by 4, and it's from Outlawed Rugby League of Hull FC.
You're just not like Warrington or something.
Does he watch rugby league?
I think he's still recovering from Vegas.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think that just about wraps us up for this week, doesn't it?
It's been a
good one. I've enjoyed it. If you've stayed with us all this time, then thank you very much. Thanks to Bri for doing the Predictions League, and thanks to everybody participating. If you are going to any games this week, then stay safe and enjoy and watch this, Andy. From all of us here at the Only in Rugby League podcast, it's goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.